Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. When you need a certain partnership to drive your business forward, say yes to Ulster Bank. Ulster Bank, help for what matters.
The fallout from RTÉ's This Week programme's revelation that senior staff at Irish Water may earn annual bonuses of up to 19% continues. The payments can even be given to those staff who get a need to improve rating. Meanwhile, the chief executive of Irish Water, John Tierney, has insisted that he's going nowhere despite reports of a government plan for a major overhaul of the organisation next month. The Minister for Agriculture, Simon Coveney, has been speaking about this in Paris today at CL, the World Food Fair, at which over 20 Irish food and drinks companies are exhibiting. He spoke to RTÉ's Damien O'Reilly about the continuing difficulties at Irish Water.
The setting up of a very large new state-owned utility company was never going to be straightforward. We are talking about replacing 34 different local authorities, all providing water services, and putting a more efficient system in place called Irish Water. That's going to take a bit of time. Certainly there's been significant teething problems, particularly around the communication of pricing structure. And I think that there is a recognition within Irish Water that the communications of what they're doing needs to improve. And that's happening. But yeah, there's been a lot of concern. Even though there's economic growth in the system, people are obviously very conscious of their income and their outgoings. We need to reinforce the message that Ireland will have water charges that effectively are cheaper than any other country in Europe. But the reason for this is that we're trying to introduce a safer and more efficient system for water supply into homes and businesses. Clearly, there's an onus on Irish Water as a company to improve their communications and to ensure that the introduction of water charges happens in a way that is smoother than we've seen over the last number of months.
When you say about improving communication, should we be hearing more from their chief executive, John Tierney?
John Tierney's job is to run Irish Water as the CEO. There's a communications team in place. There's a financial team in place. There's a team of people that are responsible for rolling out meters. There's a team of people responsible for relationships with the regulator. You know, John Tierney's job is to run the company as a whole, not to be the person necessarily out on radio every day. We need communication from Irish Water that ensures that people know what to expect. And we also need to have a customer care division within Irish Water that if people have questions, they can pick up the phone or they can send an email and they can get a response quickly.
But people that are protesting, it's not an issue of communications, it's an issue of them saying they just cannot afford to pay and they won't pay.
No, lots of people who are protesting don't like the principle of water charges. There are lots of people saying that this is the start of the privatisation of the water system in Ireland, which is totally untrue. Lots of people have lots of different reasons for protesting about Irish Water. Some people just want to protest at water charges, full stop, and that's a political position to attack the government. Most people, I think, recognise that the people who use the most water should be paying the most for water, as opposed to everybody just paying through their general tax system. But I think a lot of those people have been frustrated at the lack of information and the pace of that information actually getting out to the public. It's been a big job to set up a new company. John Tierney and his team have a lot of work to do to actually make sure that everybody understands how and at what cost they'll have to pay for water. But I think in time that will prove to have been the right decision. But in the meantime, obviously there's pressure on the company to improve their customer care and their information systems.
Do you share the concern among backbenchers within your party that this has damaged your re-election chances, for example, although that could be still some time away?
I think, you know, we should stop trying to create a political crisis out of water and talk about the actual issues themselves. Irish Water has been set up as a water utility to provide safe, clean water to households. The charging system to finance that structure is going to result in Irish people paying less for water than any other country in the European Union. But clearly there has been teething problems. Most of the answers are there now because the regulator has given clear direction in terms of pricing. And so it's up to Irish Water now to provide people with information and to have a customer care department that's fit for purpose. But I think there are many people who want to create a big political crisis and I'd rather focus on the actual problems rather than the politics around it.
That was Agriculture Minister Simon Coveney talking to Damien O'Reilly in Paris today. Well, John Downing is political correspondent with the Irish Independent and he's on the line now. John, we're hearing reports almost every day of growing anger among backbenchers and now among ministerial ranks as well of Fine Gael and Labour. Why are they angry at Irish Water, who arguably is enforcing government policy?
Yeah, I suppose best summed up by what Michael Noonan had to say last week when he said that backbenchers feel that Irish Water may be the only real impediment to them retaining their Dáil seats at the next general election. Backbenchers on both government parties have been collecting, feel they've been collecting a lot of abuse on behalf of Irish Water, which would be more correctly directed at them, and that there have been a series of PR errors and faux pas, and they want to see the issue addressed because they feel that it has. They had a good budget last week, the first in 7 years, the first in the term of this government, and that they're not reaping any political dividend from that, much of it down to Irish Water and being the focus of very negative controversy.
So, John, is it like the medical cards controversy? They're prepared to go along with it until it threatens them electorally, like the medical cards did for the local elections?
Well, I suppose to some extent that is true, though some of the backbench deputies, notably Owen Murphy, and some other of his colleagues have said as early as last January they were raising concerns at a Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting that all was not well at Irish Water and not very much was done to address the various shortcomings that they felt were there.
Is Phil Hogan getting much criticism, as it were, behind his back? Because he oversaw this whole thing, and in his own words, he may not have micromanaged it, but he's responsible ultimately, and the government is.
Yeah, I suppose he is to some degree, but there's also great acceptance. I mean, they are the ultimate pragmatists. Phil Hogan is in Brussels, and soon he will be confirmed in the job of European Agriculture Commissioner. In relation to all of this, he's very much yesterday's news. They have a real problem which concerns them, impacting on them. They have to address it themselves.
But in relation, we're hearing a lot of anger at communication problems within Irish Water, that they're not communicating their position clearly enough. But is the anger among people not more to do with most or a lot of people at least cannot simply afford to pay them? And the government's blunder in the budget last week in leaving out tens of thousands of people who can't afford the charges and will get no help?
Yeah, and I think there is a view among all parties at Leinster House that that Irish Water is the focus of a lot of kind of scattergun annoyance. People are annoyed about a lot of things and it gets diverse issues which get directed towards Irish Water. Certainly the efforts to make clear the help that would be available to people, the extent of the bills, part of the reason is this has been such a prolonged process. Backbench deputy said to me late last week, "My God, why can't we just get some bills out there? Then people would see that it's actually nowhere near as bad as imagined, and we can get on with our lives and things will calm down." So communication is very important here, but when things go wrong, the word communication usually occurs in politics. It's not that what we're doing is wrong, it's just we're wrong in the way we're selling our message.
What will it take, though, for this to calm down, John? Because would you agree that the whole Irish Water company and everything that surrounds it is now toxic as far as the public is concerned?
It is completely. It's a very new institution, but it's giving the HSE, the much longer established HSE, a very good run for its money as the most disliked Irish public institution. There certainly is a strong feeling among both parties of government that something will have to be done, certainly about the board, and they have that opportunity. The board is to be restructured within weeks, and there are calls from some open calls from some backbench TDs about doing something, changing senior management. Whether that is doable or desirable is entirely another matter.
John, stay with us. I want to talk to you specifically about Sinn Féin and their current problems south of the border in relation to the allegations from Maria Cahill and how they're impacting. But I'm glad to say we've been rejoined by author and broadcaster Malachy O'Doherty, who got cut off not quite in his prime. We were going great, Malachy, but... No, you're not past your prime, not at all. But look, I was going to ask you in terms of Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin, and he's, you know, he's been president of Sinn Féin now for 31 years. If more allegations of abuse by IRA members emerge and how the Republican movement dealt with him, could this be the start of his undoing at the top of Sinn Féin?
I would... You know, it's a very hard question to answer. I mean, one would logically expect so because of the parallels, for instance, with the Catholic Church and the way in which the Catholic community reacted against that. But the thing about Gerry Adams has been facing accusations of the most extreme kind for decades, and he has withstood them all. He brazens them out, he dissembles and he evades and whatever, but he survives them. And what we've got, at least in the North, is I think we've got a kind of consolidation of the support for Sinn Féin, which knows that these shocks come along every so often and is now able to bear them. The bigger question, I think, is for the South, and maybe the position that Mary Lou McDonald finds herself in, and the expectation, of course, that you would need a fairly substantial vote from women for Sinn Féin in the South as well. And if Mary Lou and the party is seen to be supporting Gerry while he is equivocating and while he is under severe pressure over issues like this, then there is... But I would have thought there was scope for damage there that is of a kind that is less likely to happen in the North.
OK, I'll bring you in a second, John. But just on that, I know that you've said Gerry Adams has withstood very grave allegations down the years and has withstood them. But is this in some way different? I mean, could this be framed in the way that Republican girls, the daughters and sisters of Republican families, were raped and abused by IRA members and they weren't protected?
Well, that's certainly true in some cases. How many cases there are, we don't know. I mean, if we go back to when the Catholic Church scandal broke, it just seemed to be a small thing. But there certainly is a cluster of cases that are being talked about among journalists and that are known about and that have not hit the public domain. So there are more shocks to come of this kind. When I say that Gerry Adams has been good at brazening things out, I mean, this is a man who has sat in radio studios and television studios and been confronted with the allegation by very senior security people that he was chief of staff of the IRA, that he ordered murders, that he ordered disappearances, that he ordered robberies and everything. And he has withstood that with that kind of very, you know, well, you've interviewed him and you know his technique and you know how good it is. The question then is, would a man who has endured so much opprobrium and survived it over the years, would he know the moment to admit that the game was up? Would he recognise that moment when it came? You know, I wonder if he would. I think he would maybe be so thick-skinned now that the only way in which he would go would be if somebody with more to lose politically, like Mary Lou and the others, would go to him and say, look, Gerry, really, you know, it's over.
But would that undoing originate in the heart of West Belfast, perhaps, in the heart of his own community?
It doesn't matter because he doesn't get votes there. But it would if there are more stories that that Sinn Féin and the IRA, with the connivance of Gerry Adams, covered up rape, covered up child abuse, and there are those more stories, and if they come out and are talked about further, then what is going to matter is how the voter in the Republic feels going into the polling booth and saying, well, you know, do I believe this man? Do I want to be associated with him? We're talking about people who've already flown in droves away from the Catholic Church because of stories that bishops and cardinals covered up cases like this and turned the other way and didn't understand the grief and damage that it caused. So if that same thing attaches to Gerry Adams, then there will be people who last week thought, you know, this was the way to put their vote, who will say, well, maybe not after all.
What do you think, John Downing?
I think the parallel and the comparison with the Catholic Church made by Maliki is very interesting, and we're going to hear an awful lot more of that in the coming days and weeks, probably. In this part of the country, it's clear that the Irish people have long ago kind of compartmentalised Gerry Adams' extraordinary past, and they've managed to sort of reconcile themselves to put it in a box that kind of goes, well, something about the North, about Northern Ireland. Extraordinary opinion poll revelations last May, 7 out of 10 people don't believe him when he talks about his position on IRA membership, and about half the people believe he had some link to the murder and abduction of Jean McConville. So all that being said, large numbers of people were up to very recently at least, prepared to vote for Sinn Féin and to see them as a party which addresses social and economic issues south of the border.
Is Mary Lou McDonald under particular pressure?
I think she is. I think she has been unsure in her first responses to this. She came across as somebody who lacked empathy for Maria Cahill and who was keener on defending Sinn Féin above all else, which sort of chimes with just what Maliki was saying there. The original instincts of the principal people in the Catholic Church was to defend their organisation rather than direct their energies towards the concerns of people who had suffered. So it will be very interesting how this one has played out. A marked difference in the response in the changes this morning, with open acknowledgement that that Republicans were acting as a police force in among nationalist communities. Among the things they tried to deal with was the whole issue of sexual abuse.
John Downing of the Irish Independent and author and broadcaster Maliki O'Doherty in Belfast, thank you both very much indeed. And just to repeat, we did make repeated efforts throughout today to contact various Sinn Féin representatives to discuss the Maria Cahill allegations and the wider issues as well, but we got no answer to any of our calls.